You know, it is amazing as you read the Bible and as you hear different preachers preach. It's amazing the different things that people draw examples from. Jesus, of course, used a man sowing seed in the field. He talked about a woman sowing on a garment. He talked about bottles. He talked about fruit trees. He talked about a vineyard. All sorts of different things. And then he drew from those examples some spiritual things. We do the same thing. We talk about fishing and hunting and all of those kind of things. We draw examples from those things. And this morning I want to do that as well. This morning we want to learn some lessons from painting. Been doing a lot of painting for some reason here lately. Not one of my favorite things to do, but I've been doing it anyway. It's one of those things that has to be done every once in a while. And how many of you have ever done some painting? Ever painted your house inside or out? That's one of those things. One of the things about an illustration is when a lot of people are familiar with it. You know, I could talk to you about doing electrical work, and probably not many of you would know a whole lot about that unless I was at an electrician's convention. You know, I could talk about dentistry, and Doc would be all over that, but the rest of us, we only know the other side of that picture. Most of us have at one time or another done some painting of some kind. So we're going to learn some lessons from painting that will apply to our spiritual lives. I've got 12 of these, but if we run out of time, I'll just quit. How about that? Running out of time means 2 this afternoon. So as long as we're done before 2, we'll get them all in. Some things are harder than you think. Some things are harder than you think they're going to be, aren't they? You know, and that's true in painting, and it's true in life. It's true spiritually, too. You know, we might think, well, it ought to be easy to just quit doing this or to start doing that in my Christian life. But then we find out, well, that's a lot harder. It ought to be easy to read the Bible. I mean, it's about, 600 or 700 pages, and we say, well, that's a pretty big book. But, you know, those that read different novels, fiction books, they go through 700 pages in a month, and we think, well, it ought to be easy to read through the Bible. And some folks never can seem to get all the way through it. It's harder than you think it's going to be. There's more to it than you think there's going to be to it. We need to learn to count the cost as a result of that. And good lesson during our gospel meeting on counting the cost. Won't belabor that, but I recently did some painting and thought I could get it done in one day. Thought, just 8 hours, maybe 10 hours, and I'll be done with this. And it took a whole lot more than that. It wound up being about 20 hours work for 2 people. It took a lot longer. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And sometimes we underestimate the cost that a particular thing is going to have. And it could be a cost of something righteous living, or it could be the cost of something sinful. And we don't realize. But it's a lot harder sometimes than you think. Secondly, we need to learn that some mistakes can't be seen too well from a distance, but become obvious up close. Have you ever noticed that? You know, from a distance, when it comes to painting, sometimes from a distance, it looks fine. But when you get up there close to it, you realize, you know what? I missed this whole spot right here. I didn't even paint it. I didn't get that spot. Or I've got this color running over on top of that other color in this place. From a distance, it looks fine. Everything looks okay. But when you get up close, you realize that there's a real problem there that needs to be fixed. Same thing is true in our lives spiritually. A lot of times we look at someone from a distance and we think, oh, their life is so good. I wish my life was as good as theirs. The difference is we're seeing their life from a distance and we're seeing ours up close. And we realize all of our problems and we don't realize that they've got problems just as bad as our problems, but we can't see them from a distance. The other thing that we sometimes do is the opposite of that. We examine other people's lives minutely looking for mistakes, while our own lives we don't look at too closely. The Bible tells us, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Not examine everybody else. Examine yourself. Because, you know, the amazing thing about it is, the only mistakes that you can correct are your mistakes. Now that's a little different from painting, because in painting, you know, if you make a mistake in painting, I can come back and I can fix that mistake with my paintbrush. But in life and spiritually, we can't fix somebody else's mistakes. They're the only ones that can get their lives straightened out. And that's frustrating for us, because a lot of times we really care about that person and we know what needs to be done. But we can't do it. Only they can do it. But some mistakes can't be seen from a distance. They have to be seen up close. And then they can be corrected. And then the third thing is that some things must be done before other things. You've heard the old saying, first things first. That's very important. You have to do first things first when you're painting. If you're going to paint the ceiling and you're going to paint the walls and you don't want to paint the floor or the furniture, you better put some plastic over it, hadn't you? I made that mistake. I just went to painting and I got paint splattered all over some of Dawn's things. And she wasn't too happy about that. But she didn't want them speckled white for some reason. She didn't want little white dots on it. Polka dots, I always thought people liked polka dots. But you know, you can do that kind of thing if you don't do first things first. You have to prepare. There are a lot of things that you have to do. You got to mix the paint up. If you don't mix it up, then if it's separated, then you have a mess on your hands. You've got to take the pictures or whatever off the walls, the curtain rods, and think you get take that down, or you'll get paint all over that. You've got to do those first things first. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. We've got to do first things first. There are too many people who come and ask me, well, look, I need to tell my friend, I need to teach my friend about this or that or the other thing. And I say, well, is your friend a Christian? Well, no, but I want to teach them to stop drinking. Or I want to teach them to stop gambling. If they're not a Christian, they stop drinking and stop gambling, they're still just as lost as they were when they were drinking and gambling. First things first, you need to teach them the gospel to help them realize their need for a Savior. Then start working on those other things that need to come on. We sometimes get the cart before the horse. And we need to watch out for that, because there are some things that must be done before others. It's true in our lives as Christians as well. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You seek that first. Then all these other things will be added to you. Peter says, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. And he has those building steps. And there again, you notice what the first one is, where you start. You've got to start with faith. See, we go out there in the world trying to make people better people when they don't have faith, and that doesn't work. You've got to have faith first. You cannot build anything until you have that proper foundation. Faith must come first. So there are some things that must be done before other things. And then fourth, there are some things that can be seen better from a different angle. Has this happened recently? Chris and I were working on a ceiling. We were painting a ceiling, and it was kind of an off-white color to start with. It's like, you know, an eggshell, a cream white, not pure white, but just off-white a little bit. And we were painting over it with another shade that was off-white, but a different off-white. And so, you know, you go over that, and it's very hard to see whether you've gotten it all. You think, oh, that looks pretty good. And then you walk over here and you go, ooh, this is a big patch right over there. And then you go, oh, you get that one. And then you walk over here and you go, whoops, there's a big patch over there. When you get it from a different angle, you see that you didn't get it all. That's why the Bible tells us in regards to our lives that we should walk circumspectly. You know what the word circumspectly means? It's kind of a weird word, not one we use very often, but the idea of circumspectly, in essence, it means to walk around in a circle. Because if you walk around in a circle, you're going to see all sides of an issue or all sides of an object. It's like, you know, it's very hard to see your own back. But if you can have somebody else walk around you, they can see your back without any problem. When they get back there, they can see it very clearly. And so he tells us, spiritually speaking, we need to walk circumspectly. We need to step outside of ourselves, so to speak, and walk around our lives and look at every side of our lives. Look at it from all the different angles. And you know, sometimes we have to do that in Bible study too, don't we? Sometimes we have always looked at a passage of Scripture in a particular way, from a particular direction. And then somebody else says, well, have you ever thought about, and they share something with us, and they say, no, I've never thought about that. And then we say, well, let me look at this from a different perspective. Well, what about that? You know, all these years, I never thought about that. Never realized that said that way. So we need to learn to look at things from a different angle, because sometimes that will help us to see them better. Number five, some parts of a job take more time or more effort or more skill than other parts. And you could add to that list. You know, some are going to take more paint. Some are going to take more patience. Sometimes, you know, the little detail work. And I tell you what, these folks that paint a picture, a mural or something, and they use one of those little bitty brushes, I don't know how they can do it. The patience that it would take to just, you know, just a little. And I've seen, I forget now who it is, one of those famous, I don't know if there's a impressionist, but there's a whole group of them that painted with little dots. They just put a little dot. And from a distance, it looks like a whole picture. You get up close, you can see that, wow, they put like 10 million little dots on that whole big, huge picture. How on earth did they have the patience to sit there and just dot, 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 and make sure that all those dots were in just the right place, that when you step back from that, it was going to look right? I couldn't do that. You know, that's a different skill level than taking a big roller and rolling a big swath on the wall. That's not hard. I can do that. But that detail work, so very much more difficult. And it takes more effort. It takes more skill. And that's the case with some things in our Christian life too. And what's even more interesting is what to one person may be very frustrating and they may not be able to do it, to another person that may not be so difficult. Those people who do the detail work and love to do the detail work, to them that's not hard work. They enjoy doing that. To me, that's very tedious, and it drives me crazy, because every time I turn around, I'm smudged over my paint onto the other color that it wasn't supposed to be mixed with. So we've got to understand that different people are going to enjoy different parts of that, and they're going to be able to do different things. But certainly some parts of the job take more time, too. When Chris and I were working on this particular painting that we were doing, I'm going to use Chris a lot because I painted with him this past week. So, he painted the most of the walls, the ceiling of two rooms in less time than it took me to do the baseboards and the trim around the doors in the first room, and it was the taller of the two rooms. And yet he was able to... So it took more time to do that smaller work, and it does, doesn't it? Now you can paint 50 square feet of wall in less time than it takes this person to paint 1 foot of a baseboard. That's just the way that works. And then you know, you get these doors like this over here that's got the little flaps in them, and you got to push that little brush up in there, and that can be troublesome. Takes you some time. All these kinds of things that take extra time. And then some things, of course, take more effort. Well, I tell you, it's a lot harder to hold that brush and that roller up over your head and do it up there on the ceiling than it is to do it right here on the wall in front of you. That's a lot of difference in the amount of effort it takes. Number six, we see that practice improves performance. Now, we've said, and many times probably, practice makes perfect. I have never known of anyone to ever practice something long enough to become perfect. Okay? But practice does improve performance. Now, does that mean that every time you do something, you're going to do it better than the time before? No. I could practice at shooting a basketball or shooting a gun, for that matter. And I'm generally, the more I practice, the more I'm going to improve. But I'm still going to have ups and downs, aren't I? I'm still going to have good days and bad days. And the same is true in our spiritual life. The more we practice Christianity, the more we're going to improve. That doesn't mean, though, that we're not going to have some bad days stuck in there. Maybe even bad weeks or months. Sometimes where we just really struggle with it. Even those professional sports players that are getting paid millions of dollars to play sports still have slumps where they go through a time when they're not doing as well as they did before. And we're going to have that. But certainly the same is true there with painting. The more practice you have at it, the better you're going to get at it. That's just the nature of practicing. And then number seven is that not everyone has equal talents. And we kind of touched on this earlier. But my wife can, and some of you have probably seen at my house and at Chris and Felisa's house, well, she went in on the wall and painted these pretty pictures. I think she painted Spider-Man and some flowers, and she's painted Pooh Bear and on the wall. And just painting all these things on the wall. I can't do it. But I can reach higher than she can, and I can reach that part up there that she can't get without a ladder, you know. So we all have our different talents and our different abilities. And not everyone's going to be equal. And we need to understand that in the church as well. Some would say, well, that person's been a Christian longer than I have. Why aren't they doing such and such that I'm doing? Not everyone has equal talents. And not everyone is going to grow. We talked about the practice improves performance, but not everyone is going to improve at the same rate. Not everyone is going to reach the same point at the same time. We have to understand that. And then number eight, learn that small things make a difference. Small things make a difference. Well, I tell you, it just one little flick of the wrist can make a big difference in where that paint goes when you're using a little brush. And you're right there and you think you're right at the edge, and then you just a little oop, bop, and it's way over there. Small things can make a big difference. Painting like around the ceiling where a light fixture is, and you get a little paint on that light fixture, and it looks kind of tacky having some of that paint on that light fixture. And if you come back and you clean that off, boy, what a difference just that little small thing makes. Just a small thing. But it makes a big difference. And that's true in Christianity too. Just one kind word. Just one phone call. Just a note. Just a hug. Just a look. Sometimes those little small things make such a difference in our lives, don't they? Just knowing that somebody cares, even a little bit, just a small thing, can make a huge difference to us in our spiritual lives as well. Then number 9, paint can cover many problems. You know, the last place I painted, there were cracks in the walls, there were nail holes in the walls. And just a little bit of painter's caulk and a little bit of paint, and boy, it looked like a new house. Now, the 2x4s inside that wall, the lumber may be rotten and about to fall down, but boy, you can make it look good. Just that coat of paint can cover a lot of problems up. In fact, I was talking to my dad about their house in Texas, and we were talking about a problem that they have with, they've got some beams kind of like we've got here, but they just go straight across and they're sagging. They have too much weight on them, but not going to fall in, but it, eventually I guess it would. But we were talking about the fact that, you know, to a lot of people, they don't look, if they're going to buy a house, they don't look to find out how the wiring is in that house. They don't check to see how the plumbing is in that house. They don't check to see if there are rotten boards up under there that are going to fall and make the whole house cave in. What do they look at? They look at, boy, this place hasn't been painted. It needs a paint job. Let me tell you something. A paint job, you know, you're talking about a couple $100 for paint and then paying somebody to come and paint or doing it yourself. That's not a real serious problem. But let me tell you, if the structure of that house has been eat up by termites, that paint job is not going to help. But we see, that's the human way, isn't it? We look at the surface. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You're like whited sepulchres. See, you all painted up pretty, but inside you've got dead men's bones. Said you wash the outside of the cup and the plate. But inside, what about the inside? That's the important part. I mean, if I'm going to drink out of a cup, I really don't care if the bottom of the outside of the cup is all dirty. I mean, you know, working outside, sometimes I have a cup of water or a bottle of water, and you know, I set it on the ground or wherever, and it gets dirt all over the outside of it. But I don't want the dirt on the inside where the water is. I want that part to be clean. Because that's what I'm drinking. But we sometimes focus on that. But paint can cover a lot of problems. And the Bible tells us that love is the same way. Remember the scripture that says, love covers a multitude of sins? Love. Love can cover up a lot of problems. And when we say cover up, we don't mean just ignore that they're there, but it actually can fix those problems and help them to be better. Number 10, we learned that oil and water don't mix. I don't know how much you know about paint. I know more about it than I wanted to know. But there's oil-based paint and water-based paint. And apparently, they both have their purposes, but I've always liked what they call the latex, the water-based paint. I have always liked it better. It's easier to clean up if you get it somewhere it's not supposed to be. It's easier to deal with in so many ways. And it comes in all the same pretty colors. So it's a good paint. I've never had any problem with it. But some people like that oil-based paint. But this last time working with oil-based paint, I thought, boy, that stuff is runny. It just runs everywhere. And that makes for a problem. But the other thing that I found out was that if something has been painted with something with an oil base, you can't come back with a water-based paint and paint over that. Because if you do, why, it's just going to all peel off because oil and water don't mix. Now, you can have the water-based paint up there and paint over it with the oil base, no problem. But if the oil base is up there, that water-based paint will not stick to it. And that can cause you a bunch of headaches if you don't learn that. Well, we need to understand that in the spiritual world, not about oil and water, but we need to understand that about sin and righteousness, about good and evil, about us as Christians and worldly people. We don't mix. Now, that doesn't mean we never have interaction with them. It just means we can't stick together because we're not the same. We need to stick together with the other Christians. And we've got a lot of Christians who have more friends who are closer to them outside the church than inside the church. And that tells me something. It tells me they're still more like the worldly people than they are like Christ. You know, Christ wasn't big friends with those Pharisees who were always condemning him. The friends that he had were friends who were interested in wanting to be like he wanted them to be. That were interested in wanting to be like Christ and wanting to do what God wanted them to do. Oh, I know some of them were sinful folks. I know the harlots and the tax collectors, the prostitutes, I know they followed him. But they followed him because they wanted something better. We'll realize that people will be drawn to us if they realize that we have something better in Christ. Number 11. Mistakes are easy to make. Mistakes are easy to make. It is just almost impossible to not make a mistake. Now, I don't know if you know, professional painters, not that I've never hired a professional painter, and never really seen a professional painter paint, but a professional painter, they say, wears all white. They have the little white hat, and they have the little white shirt, and the white pants, and white shoes, and they're all dressed in white. Do you know why that is? They are showing their ability and skill of their profession by doing that. So if you're painting blue and red and pink and gray and all these other colors, and you're wearing all white, if you make mistakes and drip it on you, it's going to be obvious, isn't it? My parents were telling me that the church where they are recently had their auditorium repainted. And my mother was telling me, she said, this guy was really good. She said, he came in there and he didn't even put down a piece of plastic, not a drop cloth, nothing. He just came in there. She said, he painted the whole thing and didn't get, as far as she knew, not one drop of paint anywhere it wasn't supposed to be. Now, that guy was good. If he could do that. And I mean, he had so much confidence that he didn't even put down a cloth. Even if I thought I could do that, I'd still put down something just in case. You know, because mistakes are so easy to make. And isn't that true in our Christian life too? It is a whole lot easier to make a mistake. It's a whole lot easier to fall into sin than it is to keep doing what's right. We need to understand that mistakes are easy to make. And because of that, when others make mistakes, we need to remember how easy it is for us to make mistakes and not jump all over them. We all make mistakes. The Bible says we have all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And then the 12th and final thing, and I think we're going to get done before 2 o'clock, just barely, is that mistakes can be easily removed with the right cleaner. And of course, again, we talk about the water base and oil base. If you catch a water-based paint, you make the mistake and it's still wet, why, you can just wipe that off with a cloth. No problemo. Even the oil-based paint, if you catch it real quick, you can wipe it off pretty good. But once they dry, you need the right cleaner. They have different paint removers for the different paints. And the one for the water-based paint won't remove the oil-based paint, but they have a remover for the oil-based paint to clean up and to, you know, and all those kind of things. Well, the same is true of our spiritual lives. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a cleanser, a cleaner, that can remove those mistakes from our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to take away all the consequences of it. We may still have to deal with problems resulting from the mistakes that we made. But we can have it cleansed. We can have it cleaned. And it can be easily removed with the right cleaner. That sin can be easily removed from our lives with the right cleaner. And we know, of course, that that cleaner is the blood of Christ. But we have to have access to that cleaner. Just knowing that the blood of Christ will cleanse me from my sins won't do me any good if I don't know how to access it. If I don't have access to it. A lot of people say, oh yeah, buy that right there, oh that works great. And then you buy it and you get it home and it doesn't clean anything. A lot of people in the religious world will tell us, oh yeah, you can be forgiven of your sins, just say this prayer. Just pray for the Holy Ghost, just do this, just do that. God will forgive you of your sins, just say I'm sorry, God will forgive you. The Bible teaches us, however, that in order to contact the blood of Christ, we've got to follow God's plan. That is to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to repent of our sins, turn away from them, to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then to submit ourselves to baptism, which is the thing that washes our sins away, the point at which we contact that blood. Saul, before he was known as Paul, he was told by Ananias, when Ananias came to him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Now once we've contacted that blood, the Bible tells us in John, 1 John rather, that if we walk in the light, He is in the light. The blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. We have access to it. We have it available to us at any time that we make that mistake, that we commit that sin and have need of it, as long as we're walking in the light. That it's there for us. John also tells us that if we're faithful, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So we need to realize once we become Christians, we have then easy access to that. But of course, not to take advantage of it. Paul says, "What shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid." We don't take advantage of that blood because we remember that that is the precious blood of our Savior. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not like the cleaners. You can go buy another can of it down at the store, another bottle of it, and get some more at the store. It's not like that. It's precious. It's very special blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you have a need to respond, either in initial obedience to wash your sins away in the blood of Christ through the watery grave of baptism, or as a Christian, if you need to repent of some sin in your life, maybe you've realize some things that you've done that you shouldn't have, and you want to get back right with God. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.